There's a really weird feeling when you're thinking about baseball and you're watching baseball and it's like 30 degrees outside. And then you think about the fact that in college, you're holding a metal bat. Like, Sonny, that can't feel good, just holding a metal bat in 30 degree weather.
No, the fingers get stiff, the eyeballs get dry, and the nose starts running. And you look up and say, how quickly can we get 9 over with? It's tough.
I always thought that pitchers should work the inside corner a lot more in these frigid games than when it's 75 outside. Just jam them over and over again. I don't know that you see more of it in cold weather, but I always thought that would be a smart strategy.
No, that's definitely a thought, because we're up there like, I'll just anything to just hit the middle of the bat.
Welcome on into the Barn Baseball Show. It's Thursday, February 20th. I'm Lindsey Crosby, joined by Sonny DeShera, Auburn University legend, and Village Vice's Brad Law. And guys, I want to talk about Wright State this weekend. Obviously, we're making some adjustments to the game times because of the weather. I want to talk about what the offense did over the weekend, during the midweeks. But first, we've got to talk about kind of the big injury news in the room. Cade Fisher is not going to be in the rotation this weekend. Butch Thompson said just about at half an hour prior to us recording, they just want to be safe. This is something where they're going to give him some extra time to get fully healthy. He left his start last Friday with some tightness in his lat. Is this anything you think to be worried about, or is this just SEC plays probably a different decision, but like Brad, right here in it's going to be cold weather in non-conference play, it makes sense to just kind of hold them out and give them an extra week to get good, right?
Yeah, I think both, quite frankly. I think anytime you have tightness and you have your Friday night starter for the first weekend miss his second scheduled start of the year, I think it's reasonable to be a little concerned about that. I also think it's reasonable to be assured that this coaching staff is going to be careful. They're not going to push anything. And if there's a chance at re-injury or making it worse, then you don't go. You just don't. It's not worth it whatsoever. They aren't going to push it. Not in the second weekend of the season. Not in a critical SEC weekend would they push it beyond what's reasonable. So, it's concerning. It's eyebrow raising, but I feel good about the way the staff's going to handle it.
And something just with like how stuff like this has happened before and early on in the season, just I'm sure what's going on is they're just like, hey, like whatever it is, let's just be super overprotective of it and make sure that you're 100%. We don't want you to go out there going being 80%. Because at that point, nobody's going to be able to do their best and give out their best effort on that. It's just more of a precautionary thing, I think, which it should happen.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I also don't feel like there's a ton of gamesmanship you can play here. We saw Eric Guevara listed as the designated hitter for Tuesday start against Troy. And I think, Sonny, you were telling me there was maybe a little bit of gamesmanship with that decision, given that you were facing a ranked Troy team on that, didn't you?
Yes. It's definitely a way to play the mind game for sure, because you're going in there scouting Eric. Eric's had 2 years of at-bats, I guess, or however much he's played, not 2 full years, but you're prepared for him. And then when I think he was even on deck, and then they come out and like, hey, Bub's going to hit in this spot. But at first, I think the umpire was like, oh, no, you have to actually have an at-bat before you can sub. Which I think is an actual thing. Like the DH has to have an at bat before he can get subbed out. But then he was like, well, his hamstrings hurt. And so like, obviously if you're injured, you can come out. So it was definitely a mind game thing, which you got to play the mind game. You really do. Like I said earlier on, like this Auburn team is not going to be one that beats the brakes off people. They're going to be one that wins the close games.
Yeah. It's the first time I ever remember Butch Thompson doing anything like this in a game. Tim Corbin did it all the time. Like it was a regular part of the starting lineup. That the DH was a guy who he wasn't going to hit. They were going to have somebody else, depending on who's in the game at that point in the lineup. And that's how they started the game. They took that rule away. They made it a rule that you have to have an actual at-bat unless there's an injury. So they were well within the rules. There was nothing, you know, that nothing illegal about it, nothing unethical about it, well within the rules to do it. They played the game within the framework of the rules, and thought it was pretty clever, quite frankly. Yeah.
Brad, do you ever remember a time when like that came back to bite Vandy? Like they ended up a man down or they needed that guy to be a defensive replacement and didn't have him? Or is it just one of those, if you can get a little tiny edge, you take it and it's a sacrifice you're willing to make?
Yeah, that's all. I don't know enough about game by game, you know, Vanderbilt baseball to know whether it ever came back. It may have. Yeah. But I know it was just that was just what he did. It's just what Corbin did.
Yeah.
You know, it was standard until they changed the rule.
Yeah, and I think that should be a rule. Like you should have to have your lineup has to be in there for at least something. Like if it's for one pitch, be in there for one pitch. But obviously Eric was hurt. Like that's a different ball game.
Yeah, and it's just to replace him with Bub and seeing what Bub was able to do. I mean, Sonny, this is a guy very highly touted. It feels, I haven't yet quantified this with the analytics staff. It feels like every batted ball that he has hit has been 100 miles an hour or more. Mm-hmm. Just, he probably has the highest average exit velocity on the team. Like what have you just in these couple games, like Sonny, what have you noticed from his offense?
Yeah, Bub. I mean, Bub is a physical freak. He seriously is. And he's just an awesome dude too. So I'm happy to see him go out there and have that success that he had last night. And then obviously the Troy game was a pinch hit, correct? When he came in to pinch hit, or was he playing that game?
He subbed in.
Okay. Yeah. And so he comes in, he hits that that single turned triple because the went through his legs. And it's just fun to see anytime a freshman steps up and does it. Because obviously he had a rough opening day, just like any other freshman should have. He's like 0-for-4 with 2 Ks or 3 Ks, whatever he had. And so he's gonna be special for the next 3 years or 2 years, however old he is and however long Auburn gets to keep him. It's fun to watch him play.
Bub's great. I think he started the season 0-for-5, which means he's 3 for his last 7.
Okay.
So it's starting to come around, and buddy, he can fly.
Oh,
he looked like he, as much time passed, like the first 2-3 steps may not be as fast, but he could get from first to third in the same amount of time he gets from home to first. I mean, like once he got going, those big long strides, and Bub's an impressive guy. I'm kind of with you. I'm looking forward to seeing everything he does. We had him on postgame radio last night.
Okay.
Doesn't speak like a freshman. Like he's just, it's evidence of when we talk about this freshman class being ready, not really having a learning curve. That's proof. That's one example, one bit of evidence. Yeah.
Yeah. He is 3-for-7 in his last 2 games, 1 run, 3 RBI, drawn a walk, no strikeouts, struck out 3 times in his first 2 games. And then since then, no strikeouts on his ledger. So definitely not playing like freshman. And that's kind of the theme that I've noticed so far is you've got all these different guys, whether it's Bub, whether it's Chris Rembert, who stepped into the starting lineup with the injury to Eric Guevara, whether it was Chase Fralick, who's now gotten more starts behind the plate than Cale Strickland has. Maybe not a thing that I expected to happen. They've all just looked really good. And it makes you feel like the transfer additions in, especially on the pitching side, combined with these new freshmen, a lot of hitters, but some of the pitchers have impressed. We're going to get to those guys. This is now all of a sudden, even with these recent injuries, a little bit of a deeper team than maybe we thought it could have been just 2 weeks ago, simply because these guys have already been able to not only step in, but to excel. And maybe that's a step farther than I thought they were going to do this early. Right, Brad?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Rembert homers 405 feet to dead center in last night's ball game, making the most of his second career start. Fralick has homered already. He's, you know, 4-for-12 on the year. Your new players are making a difference. Your freshmen are in there and making a difference, and not just at the plate either. I don't know if we want to go to the mound, but you've seen some really impressive stuff out of the freshmen on the mound. Andreas Alvarez in the game last night blew me away.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gives up a single and a home run to the first two batters.
First four pitches of the game.
Yep, yeah. First, yep.
You get beyond the first four pitches of the game, my man looked like Greg Maddux out there. I mean, he was unbelievable. Yep. They couldn't touch him. They got two hits the rest of the time he was in there.
Yep.
Two hits, two walks, nine strikeouts after the first four pitches of the game. I mean, it's... And like it's just kind of that's been the theme is all of these guys have been able to jump in and just go young guys in general, right? Cam Tilley had a great showing on Tuesday, but like Jet Johnson comes in two innings, no hits, no walks, strikes out four, just laying tracks, just getting balls in the strike zone and daring guys to hit it, and they can't do it. And It's interesting to think about. You have these upperclassmen, right? Fisher's now going to be out for the week, and that's a TBA officially. We don't know who's going to take his spot. Yeah. Dutton moved up to Friday, so Sam Dutton Saturday is now open. But you think about Christian Chatterton still on Sunday. How are you going to fill that Saturday? You've seen a lot of guys flash something. One, can any midweek guy come back on a Saturday? Maybe something in a shorter capacity. And then you've just got so many other options. Like it's... We've talked about this now, I feel like, for 3 weeks, but you just have to figure out who can do what. But you have I have more confidence than I did before that any of these guys can step up if you need them to. Right, Sonny?
Yeah, for sure. And I was in the training room today just talking with a couple of guys and the trainer. And we were like, yeah, there's five guys that still haven't even pitched yet. So the fact that they're at and they've shown what they've shown already is like, okay, like maybe this team can actually do something on the mound for real. And it's going to be interesting to see who takes that spot. I don't have the slightest clue because they could go any way. I think it could be a day where you got a guy who starts and goes three, next guy comes in, gets two and two and something like that maybe. But it's interesting. Like that's a good problem to have that you can – honestly, I like not knowing who's going to come out there because whoever goes out there has got something to prove and they can – maybe take like a start spot maybe for a midweek or something and show that they can also be that fourth starter. Cause I really believe you have to have four stars 100%. You got to have four guys who are solidified because it's cool when you're playing these three game weekends and all, but when it gets to tournament time, you need the fourth guy is big. And that's in 2022. That's what we had. That's exactly what we had. We had Barnett for our fourth. And that's why we were so good for that fourth game.
And he became a third after.
Oh yeah. Then he became the third. Yes. After Mullins. Yes. That's right.
I wonder, like, if we just play the what-if game or the who-could-it-be game, who could be that third guy, the Saturday starter? You haven't seen McBride yet this year. Dylan Watts pitched just an inning. He started some games last year. You know, he wants to get back out there, show what he could do. He's got some experience in the starting role. I don't think Alvarez is ready to come back in a starting role on the weekend, but you very well might see him pitch an inning or two on the weekend. Maybe an inning on the weekend, maybe Sunday, with eyes on coming into the weekend rotation the following weekend, maybe.
Because obviously, if Fisher's still out, that is 100% that they will look to. Because if you see Alvarez come out this weekend, I guarantee he's going to be the next starter next weekend if Fisher's still out.
You could also possibly, and I know Butch likes to leave guys on their schedules, especially the younger guys.
Yeah.
If you felt like you needed Alvarez or Tilley this weekend, you could move Chatterton from Sunday to Saturday. You didn't work him in the midweek. Yeah. He started on Sunday. I know, especially the young guys, if you're a Sunday guy, Butch wants to leave you on Sunday so you get in that routine. But if push came to shove, if you were in conference play and you needed a guy, I think you could move it around. This weekend feels like it's very much a, you know, we don't have to push as hard to get something here.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a dumb question, though, Brad?
Sure.
Okay. You seem so thrilled about this dumb question. None of the freshmen that we have not seen yet have the one thing that it feels like you need to have to make an impact for Auburn on the mound, and it's the alliterative name. Andreas Alvarez, Christian Chatterton, Jet Johnston, Griffin Graves. Who are we going to ask to change their name so that they can work out and take a weekend spot? I feel like that's the thing that somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, and I can't stop seeing it now.
Yeah,
your best player is like Irish. You've got all these alliterative pitchers.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what do you do now? There's five, I think, five guys already with the alliterative name.
I love that. So last year it was all the C names, Cade, Cole, Cam, all, I mean, everybody's name started with C. Right. Two Coopers, yeah. Some Connors, all of that last year. This year it's alliteration.
That's so funny.
You still have a lot of C names though. Yeah. You still, I mean, yeah. Chris Rembert, Cale Strickland, Chase Frelick, yeah. Cam Tilley, Carson Myers. You're just kind of mixing both worlds now.
Yeah.
It was like 7 of 9 last year.
7 of 9 a lineup were C's.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Consistently.
Yeah. Yeah.
4-7 every week. So. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. We got to work on that. Let us know in the comments who needs to change their name and to what in order to fit the alliterative allocated assignment.
Ooh, look at that. I like that. Good job, yeah, Brian.
Appreciate it.
Definitely a professional there. Sonny, something I did notice this week and I wanted to ask you about is I made the joke on Twitter, X, whatever it's called now, about how Auburn had just been crushing baseballs. And they were all being caught, you know, as line drives by infielders. It felt like when you're playing MLB The Show and you're just hitting the perfect, and it's an out. As a player, I assume one, that's very frustrating. Like, do you just have to remind yourself, like, over time these are gonna start falling, or like, what do you do in that situation?
I mean, it's so frustrating, but It's honestly like 50-50 because you can hit those and get out every time, and then you can hit like broken bat singles and like balls off your hands, and you can get jammed and those fall, and so it all works out at the end. But yeah, it's much more frustrating when you hit a rocket at somebody and they just catch it, no problem, as opposed to when you hit a bloop and it falls. When you hit a bloop and it falls, you're just like, oh, thank God. And so I'd really say it's 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah. Something I wanted to ask you about, and Brad, you've seen this better than the rest of us have because you're so close there. The bullpen, I feel like for Auburn, has gone from where I was thinking, you know, Hayden Murphy, Parker Carlson, and the boys, to now it's beginning to look like this may end up being a major strength of the roster. I'm thinking about Wednesday night's game. You didn't allow a single run and only a couple hits after the first two. The first two batters. Would we be wrong in saying that bullpen may be stronger than the rotation right now, as far as if you had to get through, let's say, 3 innings, you'd probably rather do that than go with a specific starter?
Yeah, given the very small sample size and maybe assuming that the rotation will change, maybe. But yeah, absolutely. You have more veteran guys on the back end, and what you saw from the newcomers is encouraging. I mean, you mentioned Griffin Graves. He's had two appearances, hasn't given up a hit in two appearances. Looked really good last night. Parker Carlson with a 3-inning save. Carson Myers, I think, had a 3-inning outing earlier in the year. Cam Tilley was dynamite. Jet Johnston, the slider that he threw, typically sliders have some sideways motion. That thing was headed straight north and south.
Yeah.
It looked like some stuff that we saw like it in Fayetteville 3 or 4 years ago on a Friday night. Truly.
It reminds me of that gyro slider. Like it looks like a fastball until it just, the bottom drops out. And I'm starting to think, you're just like, oh, hey, it's just a fastball, but not as hard. Like it's a soft fastball and then boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
Part of me wonders, is this just a great job of recruiting? Is this, now that you've had some time, you brought a new pitching coach, obviously. He had a full year to kind of get his feet underneath him and get the guys going. Is this his impact? Is this just the recruiting class you brought in and it happened to work out? Some of both. I don't know, but this bullpen is just dynamite.
Yeah. I think it's all together. Like, obviously, this is a super young team. Gonna have a big impact of young guys, so I think they all knew that going into the fall. And obviously Coach Tiefer does, he's got so many things going on that's so good for these guys, and everybody loves it. It seems like he can work with each guy in a different way, which is very good. That's what you have to be able to do, and obviously with Coach Thompson's pitching background too. So I think it's good to see this early on those guys step up, like Tilley coming out throwing against Troy. Those splitters he was throwing look like curveballs. So and he obviously got fired up too. There was a bunch of chitter chatter going on that whole game, and so that Troy game really made me excited that this team's going to fight. And like, if you're fighting first midweek of the year, like, come on, like that's what you got to see.
Yeah. I think too, it's still very early in the year. And so roles haven't been clearly defined yet. Are some of these guys going to move from long relief, middle of game, long relief roles where you need some inning eaters into the starting rotation? Yep. Possible. Very possible. Are we going to see those roles more clearly defined as we go throughout the rest of the pre-conference schedule? Yeah. Some of it's growth too, like Graves from last year to this year. He just looks much more calm, in control. We've only seen John Armstrong for 2/3 of an inning. Mm-hmm. But five games, 2/3 of an inning. That's if you needed any more like actual objective data to show you the depth of the bullpen, John Armstrong's pitched 2/3 of an inning in the first five games of the season. I mean, I left out some other guys too, like Jackson Sanders was terrific, has been terrific so far. 1 run, 2 hits, and 4 1/3 in 2 appearances. Yeah. There have only been a handful of guys that we've seen twice so far this year through 5 games. So, very deep, lots of options. And you do have a pitching coach in Coach Tiefert who's now more comfortable. It's his, and he learned from mistakes from last year. He's growing just like the pitchers are growing into the job. So we'll see. It is 5 games. It's, you know, you're 9% of the way through the regular season. Mm-hmm. But very easy to project that the bullpen will be a strength based on what we've seen so far against good teams. These aren't bad teams that Auburn's played to start the year.
Yeah. Yep. John Armstrong's 14th in innings right now on this roster. Yeah. Just not a thing I saw coming.
Yeah.
No. All right. I kind of want to a little bit of this Wright State matchup. We don't know a ton about them. They've had exactly 1 day of games. They played Longwood in the doubleheader. Snow or rain or weather knocked out the whole rest of their slate. They won 26-9. So I guess Sonny, if we had to tell you, hey, no games for a week, and then you had to get back and travel and go play a Power 5 program, like, what does that do to you so early in the season when a lot of guys are still trying to get their feet underneath them, their swing underneath them?
Yeah, it's Sanford. We went, we played, opened the year up with UT Martin, played them. Mm-hmm. And then we go back-to-back weekends. We go to Florida, and then we go to Texas A&M. And obviously, look, from being on that side looking in, you just go and, man, I hope we can scratch one out, like get one win somehow, some way. Do whatever we can do. And so now, obviously, Wright State, I don't know if many remember, but from 2021, maybe, was that 2022 when they played Tennessee in that regional, and Tennessee had to walk them off. And I think that kind of got Wright State on the map. And it's always hard because, you know, you got a team like Wright State coming in. Now on Auburn's side, you're looking like, oh, we just got this, you know, mid-major coming in. We should be fine. Now that was the thought of Holy Cross as well. Yeah. And so you can't. And I hope that they saw that Holy Cross loss on Saturday, like as a, okay, we can't take anybody lightly. We got to, like, no matter who we're playing, we got to treat it like a SEC Friday night. Whoever we're playing, it's got to be everything we got. And so that loss for them on Saturday, I mean, as horrible as you put it, it really, I think it's going to help them, especially as a young team. It's really going to help them in the long run.
Can I real quick, that Wright State Tennessee game, I forgot how electric that was. There were 9 home runs hit in that game. It was walked off by Tennessee in a grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just absurd. I forgot how good that game was. It was 2021. You were right on that.
Yeah. Too. 2021.
And that was in Knoxville. So that's tons of fun.
In Knoxville, in Knoxville, where you can stand on home plate and throw the ball over the fence because of how short the fence is.
Yeah. That's the truth, especially if you get just, I mean, any wind whatsoever.
Yeah, seriously.
You just lop, throw it up and knock it out and send it out. Yeah. I love matchups like this. Holy Cross was the preseason favorite in the Patriot League. They are the preseason favorite in the Patriot League. Troy was the preseason second team in the Sun Belt. I don't know where North Alabama was in there, but they were preseason pick second in the Sun Belt. Troy was. Wright State is the preseason winner, preseason pick to win the Horizon League. So. Wow. These are regional teams. These are teams that are predicted or predicted to be in the race to be in regionals. These teams you could see as a four seed or maybe a very low three seed, but maybe a very high four seed in an NCAA regional. So to have series against these teams, whether it's your Friday game or your Sunday game or what have you, especially for an Auburn team with so many new pieces, more new pieces than returning pieces, these are awesome for development. This is so much better than like the preseason fifth place team in the Patriot League or the Horizon League. This is legitimate competition.
And when it comes down to the end of the season, you're in a very, very competitive SEC and you're trying to fight for a not only a regional spot, but if everything goes right, you can be in the mix to host a regional. Things like this are going to help your RPI. This is not a situation you see a lot of teams late in the year. They're dumping contests, trying to not hurt their RPI. This is something where just about every single one of these teams is going to be a boost to your RPI relative to your peers when you're trying to host. So,
great point.
Very important matchups here.
Yeah, that's good scheduling, honestly, because if these teams do go on to win or, you know, go on to have a good season, it RPI, unfortunately, for whatever reason, makes such a huge deal of, like, the scheduling and the tournament and everything that goes on with it. And I think after the you get your 16 hosts, it's just kind of like, or in your automatic bids, they just kind of look at it like, oh, you know, I feel good about this team. I'm just going to draw them out of the hat. And so you don't want to be behind those 32. That is for sure. So it really, every single game does matter.
Yeah. Auburn is dealing with weather. We mentioned it earlier in the show. 2:30 start on Friday. Sonny, you'll be there throwing out the first pitch, I believe. We'll spoiler alert there. Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 1 p.m. Going to be very cold. Everybody bundle up, but the ballpark's going to be great. Brad's on the call for all three games. I believe it's are you any special guests in the booth this weekend?
I am with Andy Friday and Sunday since basketball is at home this weekend. So Andy's only missing Saturday. And I don't know. I'll have to, I just don't know off the top of my head if I'm solo Saturday or if I've got company.
That'll be tons of fun. Yeah. Predictions for the weekend, guys. Are we thinking, I'd love to hear who you, I mean, you think Auburn's going to go 2-1, 3-0? Who might be the MVP of the weekend? For some reason, I just have a feeling like when it's incredibly cold like this, I know it's controversial and a wild shot. Give me Ike Irish as an MVP. Yeah. The kid's from Michigan. He went shirtless on Tuesday after the walk-off. I don't think I saw him wearing sleeves last night.
He didn't have Ike to have a night.
Yeah. Give me Ike to have a big weekend because he's not fazed by this cold. I've got him as my MVP of the weekend. I think Auburn ends up going, to Sonny's point, I think they end up going 3-0 because they learned a lesson last weekend.
Yeah. It's going to be three close games. That's because cold. If somebody's scoring 25 runs when it's cold, then they just must not like each other that much because that's a long time being out in the cold. So it's going to be three close games. It's going to be good. And I think Tuesday for this team, that you don't really get to see a turning point this early on in the year, but that was a big, big time just momentum getter for them. And then, and obviously for Ike too, because he, you know, he's had a, I wouldn't say a bad start, but obviously not a start that he's accustomed to start the year. And so him getting that walk-off hit, I think it really fired everybody up. I'm like, okay, we're here. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Give me Bristol Carter. Give me Bristol having a big weekend at the plate and defensively this weekend as well. Wright State, actually, I looked this up. They played a doubleheader. So it was not 26 runs over one game. They played two. Neither game was close. Yeah, neither game was close. It was just two blowouts. So playing one game a day is going to feel like a win. I look at records or series in totality. So a 2-1 series, you won the series. That's a win. Put it in the win column. And that's what I think this weekend. It wouldn't surprise me if Wright State gets one because they're a quality team and you don't have to sweep to feel really good about the weekend. So give me a series win for the Tigers this weekend.
Yeah, series win, seriously, that's all. It doesn't matter. If you win every series throughout the year, you did something perfectly fine.
You won a championship.
You won a championship, seriously.
I was about to say, you're a postseason team easily if you go 2-1 in every series of the year.
Yep.
There you go. Yep. All right. This has been the Barn Baseball Show for Thursday, February 20th. We'll be back early next week. You will not see Sonny in that same background. He is leaving for Angel Spring training this weekend. Have a safe drive. Obviously he's still going to be on the show, but it's going to look a little bit different. So best of luck to you, Sonny. You got to hit one for us. That is a requirement here.
Need it.
And we're going to ship your Barn Baseball Show shirt out to you out in Arizona.
Perfect.
For Brad Law, for Sonny DeShera, I'm Lindsey Crosby, and this has been the Barn Baseball Show.